You know, if you were going to teach your children some things, you know, people often wonder, what can I teach my kid? What can I tell my child? I think one of the best things you could do, one of the best things you could do is to take him through some of the laws of God, the judgments of God. For instance, let me give you an example. Here's one in the book of Exodus chapter 21. Verse 33 and 34, Exodus chapter 21. If a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it over, you dig this deep pit, okay? Maybe you want to save water or whatever. You're digging this pit and you don't cover it. You might dig it 3 feet deep, you know, trying to look at something or find something, and you don't cover it. And an ox or a donkey falls into it. They don't see it. They're coming along. The ox doesn't see the pit. Falls into it. The owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to its owner. And the dead animal, if that animal dies because it falls into the pit, the owner of the pit has to pay the owner of the animal, and then he claims the dead animal. He can keep the dead animal, but he pays the owner what that animal was worth. Now, if you're talking to your son or daughter, you would say something like this. You know, we have to be responsible for what we do. And when you dig a pit that somebody could get hurt in, somebody could fall down and hurt themselves, what should we do? Well, we have to put a sign around it. We have to cover it so that nobody can fall in it. You know, when you walk along the sidewalk, you'll see these plates because underneath that sidewalk, there's a sewer there, and they have certain places where they go down into that into the underground sewers under the streets, and you'll have a manhole cover. You'll have a plate covering over it so that you don't fall in it. You don't tramp down and fall in it because that would be very bad. So we all have to be responsible. If you dig a pit, if you uncover something, if you use this, or something, you have to be responsible. And you have to explain why God says this. Because you're responsible for what you do that might hurt other people. And then when you go to a hotel, a restaurant, you go into a store, you'll see they say, put up a sign, be careful, cuidado in Spanish, take care, be careful, wet floor, or wet paint, or slippery floor, or something like that. You'll see they put a sign up. Because you didn't know that that floor was wet. You can't tell when you're walking on it, and you could slip. So it's the right thing to do. You want to protect other people. Here's another law in Exodus chapter 22, beginning in verse 10. This is Exodus chapter 22 now. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep for him. I say I'm going away. I'm going to be taking a little trip into a town. Would you take care of my horse or my sheep or my donkey? And it dies or is hurt or is driven away while no one is looking. An oath before the Eternal shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, and its owner shall accept it and shall not make restitution. Now, I can't be watching your horse every minute. I put your horse in my field. I have a fence around it. But somebody drove the horse away. Something happened that the horse ran off. I didn't see it. Maybe a bear got it. Maybe somebody, you know, did it. But I didn't see it. I'm keeping it for you. I'm doing you a favor. Now, when you do this person this favor, you have accepted the responsibility for this. You're accepting this. You're saying, I'll take care of it. Leave it with me. When you do, you've put yourself in a position of being responsible and therefore liable for the event and for the care of this animal or this horse or this car or whatever. You know, please watch my car. Okay, I'll watch it. Verse 12. But if it is actually stolen from him, somebody came in and stole it, didn't just run off, okay? It hurts, it's hurt, or it dies, or it's driven away somehow, you know. I mean, things could drive it away, or, you know, a coyote could come in there, or a dog could do it. But if it's actually stolen from him, you didn't watch it, you didn't, he shall make restitution to its owner. Somebody stole it while you're supposed to be taking care of it. If it is all torn to pieces, however, that is, a bear gets in there, a lion gets in there, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. In other words, I can't help it. You have a bear, or I'm protecting it as much as I can. It has to be reasonable. A reasonable amount of care is right. So you take, this is why we have taken what's called responsibility. Now let's take a look at verse 14. If a man borrows anything from his neighbor, borrow, can I borrow your ox? I want to plow my field. And the guy said, okay, I can let. And it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. So if you borrow a computer, if you borrow a car, if you borrow a tool, electric tool, you know, some kind of power tool, if you borrow a power spray paint thing, if you borrow things and you use it and something happens to it, its owner's not there, he's not there to watch it, and you're not careful with it, he shall make full restitution. What's that animal worth? What's that thing you borrowed worth? Now, if the owner is with it, verse 15, he shall not make restitution. So if your owner's right there, he's the one mainly responsible for it, and you don't have to make restitution if the owner's there. If it is hired, that is, the guy says, oh, you can rent my machine, you can rent my ox, you can rent it, then it came for its hire. You paid the man for its hire. It's same like when you rent a car. You go and rent a car, and you're driving it. It's out of oil. You don't know it. The engine is ruined. That's not your responsibility. You paid for the rental of it, and the rental people didn't take care of it. That's their problem. Now, if you deliberately do something, of course. But if you're just renting it, and in the process of renting and driving the car, it falls apart or it stops, that's not your fault. These are things that you explain to your children. You see, when you borrow you borrowed from Jimmy or you borrowed from Sally, her doll or everything, and if you broke it, then you have to buy her a new doll. Do you see why? Because you've accepted, you've asked for it, she let it to you, she let you have it. She lets you play with her game. She lets you play with her computer. She lets you play with her iPad. You have to pay that back if it breaks while you have it because you're borrowing it. This is called responsibility. This is called responsibility to remember to do things, not to neglect to do things. You neglect a pit and somebody falls in it. You should have covered it. You didn't do it. You say, well, you know, I forgot. I knew I dug that pit, but I forgot to cover it. Well, you know, guess what? You're responsible for that. In the New Testament, we have a word. It's a Greek word, and it's called epilanthanomai. It means this, to not have remembered something. I don't remember it. To forget it. It also means to be inattentive, to neglect, to overlook, or, in addition to that, to care nothing about it. I care nothing about it. You forgot it. You didn't care about it. You know, many things we forget. What do you think things we forget? Mostly the things we don't care anything about. If you really care about something really strongly, generally you don't forget. Now, once in a while you do, even though you know it's important, but you still may forget because you got other things on your mind. You got other things that are bothering you. You got other things happening. So once in a while, yes, you will forget, even if it's somewhat important. You just lay it aside and you forgot it because you got other things that come in that are pretty important as well. But most of the time when we forget things, it's because we don't really care much about it. You just neglect it. You didn't care about it. You put it there. You don't worry about it, and something happens to it. It's called neglect. It's called being inattentive, because he's caring nothing about it. Here are some examples where that word epilanthanomai is used in the New Testament. It's a big word. You don't need to worry about it. I'll show you how it's translated here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 5. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, and they had forgotten to bring any bread. Now, they were with Jesus, they were on this side, and they went on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's not a real sea, it's a lake, really. And it's the Sea of Galilee, and they didn't bring any bread. They forgot it. Let me read that same account in Mark's chapter 8 and verse 13. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 13. Leaving them, he, Jesus now, again embarked. He went away to the other side. He went from one side of the lake to the other. He got on this boat and went over. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. They didn't take any bread for food. They forgot. Did you ever pack up for going somewhere? You're going camping, going to the feast, you're going somewhere, and you forgot. You forgot this. Oh, you know what? I forgot my shoes. I forgot my tie. I forgot. But we forget. We're inattentive. Luke chapter 12 and verse 8. God does not forget. Here it is. It uses the word does not forget. Luke chapter 12, verse 8. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Jesus said, you can get five sparrows for 2 cents, yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Every time a sparrow dies, he says, they're not forgotten before God. God doesn't forget them. How much more are these great animals, like deer and elk? Philippians, sometimes it's important to do epilanthanomai. Sometimes it's important to forget, to overlook. Here it is. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. I haven't laid hold yet of eternal life. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching toward what lies ahead. Do you know how many people, and this is why a lot of them come to psychotherapy, they think of the past almost all the time. They sit and ruminate. They sit with regrets. They sit and they just beat themselves into the ground. They sit and they're sad and they're disappointed because they didn't do this or this didn't turn out right. They didn't do that. This is not right. They are just terribly upset with themselves because things didn't turn out right. You need to think in terms of forgetting what lies behind sometimes. You don't have to go over it and over and over it, especially if it's something really bad for you. It's a very bad event. It really hurt you a lot. You don't want to go over it and over it and over it in your mind. It's not worth it. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching toward what lies ahead. The Apostle Paul could just ruminate all day long on, I was a persecutor of the church. He felt bad about that. He mentions it a couple of times in his writings. Me who is less than the least of all saints because I persecuted the church of God. He talks about that. And he says, I was the least of the apostles. and because I persecuted the church of God. Because he knew what he did, but he didn't dwell on it all the time, forgetting what lies behind. You know, in sports, you have to do that. If you have a bad situation here, you didn't do well on this occasion, you can't just go back and remember that. You got to think in terms, I've got to do the next one right. And people so often, they just ruminate and they ruin the whole day. They ruin their next things. Sometimes it's good to forget. Epilanthanomai, put that away. Do not have a remembrance of something. Don't pay attention to it. Overlook it. Some people can't overlook other people's faults. They can't overlook it. They can't get past it. God does not forget certain things. Certain things you want to forget. You want to forget. Certain things you don't want to forget. God does not forget this. This is Hebrews chapter 6. God does not overlook it. He does not neglect it. He does care about it, so he does remember it. And the Bible puts it in a negative here. And this is Hebrews 6 and verse 10. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name. We work, we serve. He says this, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Every time you help one of God's people, you will never go wrong in that, because God will not forget it. He will not forget your work and the love which you gave and the way that you've helped and are still helping God's people. You will never go wrong for that. God remembers that. He'll forget a lot of your sins, but he will never forget what you've done for his people and for the love you have toward his name, because we are all in his name, aren't we? Aren't you in Jesus' name? Don't we do things in Jesus' name? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 tells us not to neglect something. He says, do not neglect, do not forget, do not put it out of remembrance, do not be inattentive, do not care nothing about, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, when it says hospitality to strangers, it's not talking that you got to bring everybody into your house in our society today. It's talking about strangers that are church members that you don't know, that people come, you want to be friendly, you want to be hospitable. You don't want to neglect to show that hospitality to strangers. But they are good people. They are people of God, but strangers to you. You don't invite a criminal into your house. You know, hey, come on in, sit down, have lunch, and let me steal all my stuff and put your gun to my head, you know, and take my stuff. Yeah, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about strangers who are strangers to you. You don't know them, but they are God's people, or they are wanting to be God's people. Do not neglect. Let me read that. It's also in verse 16, the same phrase, do not neglect. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God's pleased when you make a sacrifice of sharing, of doing something for God's people. Do not neglect to show hospitality. Do not neglect to do good and sharing. That's a sacrifice on your part, but God won't forget that labor of love. God won't forget what you've done. Here's another one where people forget. This is where you ought not to forget. Again, do not. The word neglect means here, it's translated neglect because you're not doing it. You're neglectful of it. You're inattentive to it. You overlook it. You care nothing about it. It's telling you don't not care something about it. Do not be inattentive to it. But here we see in James 1, here's a person that, let me read it in beginning of verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten, neglected what kind of person he was. He has completely overlooked. He completely cares nothing about the kind of person that he saw in the mirror, in God's law, in what God is saying. He looks at it. He said, well, this is the kind of person I am. And then he gets up and walks off, forgets it, forgets what kind of person he was immediately. This is what you're not to do, because how are you going to grow if you look into the law of God? It's a mirror, and it shows what you are, and then you just dismiss it. You say, I don't care what that means. I don't care what that says. I dismiss that. Bad for you, bad for me, bad for anyone who does it. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, left the mirror, he can't remember anything that he had. He forgot it. He neglected it. He just overlooked it. How do you grow if that happens? Now, there's another word, another Greek word, that also means to have no care for something, to neglect it, to be unconcerned about it or about someone. There's another Greek word. That Greek word is pronounced ameleo, A-M-E-L-E-O, ameleo. And it means to have no care for something. And you'll see it here in the book of Matthew. It's used here in Matthew chapter 22. You'll see how it's used. Again, he sent out slaves. Now, Jesus is giving this parable of the father and the place where they are, and he's given this parable, and he says, you know, this Lord sent out his servants, saying, tell those who have been invited, in other words, I've got a big dinner here, I've prepared this, tell them that who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Go tell them everything's ready for the dinner. Come to the wedding feast. It's a big wedding feast. The man is inviting you to the wedding feast. But what do these people do? Verse 5. This is Matthew chapter 22, verse 5. But they paid no attention and went their way. Amaleo. They did amaleo. They had no care for what he said. They were completely unconcerned that he had finished this dinner and he was inviting them to a wedding supper. Completely unconcerned. Could care less. You ever have that phrase, feeling? I could care less about it. They paid no attention and went their way. One went to his farm, another to his business. They were not invited. So you know this. You know the parable. He went out into the highways and byways and invited other people. You know, come on in. I sent you an invitation, but you didn't care. I told you the wedding supper was ready. You didn't want it. You didn't care about it. Hebrews chapter 8. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with them. Here it is. Hebrews 8, verse 9, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I brought them, led them by the hand to lead them, took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Eternal. I was then going to be not neglectful, unconcerned. What Hebrews is saying here is, I made a covenant with the house of Israel, house of Judah. They didn't care about it. They didn't continue. They didn't follow through. So you know what? I didn't care about them. I became neglectful. I became inattentive to them. I have an ear that I can hear. I have eyes that I can see, but their sin separated me. I pulled away. This is what is called, and I try to emphasize this to a lot of clients, this is what I call the symmetrical relationships. Try to have, for the most part, now there are, we are exhorted in the New Testament And it's very difficult. It's a very difficult thing to overcome symmetrical and be beyond symmetrical. For instance, Jesus said that we tend to love those who love us. Then Jesus said, but I say unto you, love even your enemies. Now here's a person who doesn't love you, he's your enemy. And you're supposed to love them. That's overcoming the symmetrical. For the most part, in your dealings, and what I advise my clients, because most people are not going to overcome this very easily. And sometimes they're going to get hurt by trying to overcome that. Now, in your mind, I say in your mind, love them even if they hate you. I love all my enemies. And what I mean by that is not an emotional love. I have no emotional love for them, but I have love for them in that I'm not going to hurt them. I'm going to obey God's law, and God's law is it does no harm. You know, Romans chapter 13 there, I think it's verse 8. Love is the fulfilling of the law because love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Therefore, I love my neighbor because I'm not, even if they don't like me, even if they were to hate me, I still love them because I'm not going to hurt them in any way, shape, or form. Now, I don't have any emotional love in the sense of I just can't wait to see them and greet them and bring them in and give them a hug and all. I have no emotional love for them, but I'm not going to hurt them. Therefore, I do love my neighbors. Even if they hate me, I love them. But when you're dealing with people on a symmetrical basis, a person doesn't want your friendship. What are you going to do? Okay? A person is cool to you. You got to be just coolly polite. You can't be they're cool, but you're going to just give them a hug. You're going to be so, because something's going to go wrong in that relationship. God said, okay, they didn't want to care for me. They didn't, for, and notice, this is Hebrews 8, verse 9, and the last part of the verse, and I did not care for them. That's the Greek word that amaleo. I have no care. I neglected them. I was unconcerned for them. And didn't Israel have all kinds of problems? He even told them what's going to happen. You turn against me, this is what's going to happen. You're not going to get your rain in due season. You're not going to have this. You're going to have diseases. You're going to have pestilence. You're going to have all this trouble. I'm not going to protect you like you wanted to be. Now, here's where you're not to be amaleo. This is what Paul wrote to Timothy about a spiritual gift that he was given. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands by the presbytery. That's by the ministry of the church, the elders of the church, the presbytery. Paul said you got a spiritual gift in that. Not only did you get the Holy Spirit, but you got a spiritual gift that you can help, and he did have that. And Paul says, don't neglect it. Whatever your spiritual gift is, if you're good at helping people, if you're good with wisdom, if you're good with knowledge, if you're good with understanding, if you're good with miracles, if you're good with healing, if you're good with service, and you can do service well, you help out, you serve well, whatever you're good at, do not neglect it. In fact, do your best to improve it, to capitalize on that gift. And this is Deuteronomy. It's the Old Testament law. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Watch yourself that you do not forget the Eternal who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. Check up on yourself. Be alert. Doesn't mean sit there in a mirror and look at yourself. It means be alert. Be cognizant of yourself. Be alert for yourself. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Eternal, your God. And how do you forget him? By not keeping his commandments. One of the reasons we love these annual festival days. Now, here's a day coming up, which the Catholic Church adopted. They adopted it right straight from pagan, demonism kind of things. They made it and they called it an all-hallowed evening because it was the evening before November 1. November 1 in the Catholic calendar is called All Saints' Day. All the saints. You know, if you go through the calendar of the Catholic Church, if you have one of those Catholic calendars, each day has a saint's name. Each day. So many people name their children Judith or this or that after a particular saint that was born on that same day that their child was born on. So you go through the Catholic calendar, 365 days, all these saints were named on these various days of the week, all through the year, I mean, through the days of the year. So if you were born on March 1st, it's so-and-so. If you're born on August 12th, it's so-and-so. If you're born on September 10th, it's so-and-so, and so on. Well, they filled up the calendar. We can't give this saints to another saint, but we keep having saints, and the Catholic Church keeps making saints. So what they did, they said, let's have a day all saints will come to it, all the saints in this day. So they set up a calendar, and they called it November 1, All Saints Day. They picked that out because the Druids, the pagans, had their goblins and witches on the night before, and it was all the spirits that were supposed to be going. So they said, oh, that's a good day. And so they called it All Saints Day on November 1. The night before was the eve of the All Saints Day, the eve beginning. Remember, most people in the ancient world realized that days began at evening. Evening and morning were the first day, and so on. So they called it All Hallows Evening, or the Hallowed Evening, translated Halloween. And most people in America have no idea. They just go and buy skeletons and witches' brooms and witches' faces and ugly faces. I hate it. I've always hated Halloween. This is what God says, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Eternal your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes. So when you keep them, you're going to remember God. What do they remember? What is Halloween? What are you remembering? Demons? What are you remembering? Witches? Goblins? Scary things? Beware that you do not forget the Eternal your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances. This is Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. And his statutes, which I'm commanding you this day. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Eternal your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Get that? He said, you got to beware. You got to be on the ball. And in our society and in our nation, it is so easy in our physical and material world to forget God. I am grateful for our annual festivals. I am grateful for our Sabbath day, that we go to church, that we observe the Sabbath. Psalm 50. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God, the saving power of God. If you do forget God, you know, God says, I'm going to tear you to pieces. You're going to be, you know, there'll be none to deliver you. And those who offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. When you thank God, you're aware of God. Thanking God, praying to God, blessing God's name. Blessing God's name is thanking him. Job says this. This is an interesting statement from the book of Job. And regardless of who made it, it has a truism to it. Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can the rushes grow without water? While it is still green and not cut down, yet it withers before any other plant, so are the paths of all who forget God. He says, you'll wither before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the godless will perish. Ezekiel chapter 23 and verse 35 says, therefore, thus says the eternal God, behold, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, bear now the punishment of your lewdness and your harlotries. And Hosea, for Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces, and Judah has multiplied fortified cities. Forgotten. To forget God is an enormous sin. A lot of things, you want to forget things behind, things that happened behind, they're gone now. Get the lessons from them, use the lessons right. But you don't have to go back over bad situations or your sins of the past and just revel in them and worry about them and that. Forgetting those things behind, reaching out for the things ahead. Let's go forward. Here's one thing you absolutely don't want to neglect. This is amaleo, okay? Amaleo. To have no care for it, to be unconcerned with it, this is one you think. I'm going to start this passage in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. He's talking about the angels, and he says in verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? Angels are servants, ministering. They're servant spirits, serving spirits, sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. So God's angels, service. You know, I'm not physically aware, but somehow spiritually I'm aware that those angels have served me. I don't know if you're aware, but somehow spiritually I'm aware. Things have happened. I've not seen any, you know, I don't even want to see anything happen where, you know, the dishes are cleaned up. Or I mean, I don't want that, okay? That's not how they're going to serve you. They're ministering spirits that help you in ways you don't even know, that maybe smooth out certain paths for you and me. Ministering spirits sent forth for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. If you're one of the ones that's going to inherit salvation, those ministering spirits are there for you. Now, you're not cognizant of it. You shouldn't necessarily be. You don't want to be. This is why the Bible reveals it to you right here. They are ministering spirits sent forth to those who will inherit, to help those, for the sake of those. They're sent forth for your sake. Hebrews chapter 2 now. That's the last verse, verse 14, the last verse here of chapter 1, verse 2. For this reason, for the reason that we have these spirits trying to help us, they're sent forth, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. Drift away, slide away, leave it, just kind of move off. Yeah, drift away from the trail, drift away from where you're supposed to be, drift off, and you know, you're lost. You're drifting away from paying attention to where you're supposed to be. You're drifting away. Your mind is looking at this and looking at that. You're not paying attention to where you parked your car. You're drifting away. Your mind's drifting away. Then he says in verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels, Paul's writing, and Paul says that in the book of Galatians, the angel of the Lord spoke the commandments. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, those angels speak the law, it's unalterable. And every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. You broke those laws in the Old Testament. You went out and just deliberately gathered this and on the Sabbath, or did this, or broke God's laws about stealing or rape or adultery or murder or worshiping other gods or using false names or persuading somebody else to come worship another god. It was the disobedience received a just penalty immediately. If that is so, he's saying, therefore, for this reason, because we have these ministering spirits, these angels, and if the word spoken through these angels was punished, verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Neglecting so great a salvation. See, we're to inherit that salvation. We've got angels sent out to minister to those for the sake of who are going to inherit that salvation. And for this reason, we better pay close attention to the things we have heard. The gospel, the truth of the gospel, the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about salvation, the truth about reconciliation, the truth about forgiveness, the truth about baptism, the truth about these things. We've got to pay very close attention to the things we have heard. Because how shall we escape if they got punished for breaking what the angels said back then? How shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation that the angels are supposed to minister to us about? They're supposed to minister to us who are inheritors of this great salvation. And if we neglect this great salvation, how much more punishment? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, we have the Gospels, what Jesus said about it. It was confirmed to us by those who heard. All the apostles heard what Jesus said, and they confirmed it. God also testifying with them, with the apostles, by signs, that's miracles, wonders, various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. You get the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are all confirming signs of what we heard. Verse 5, for he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking, Paul writes. But one has testified somewhere, saying, and we know where that is, at Psalm 8. What is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made, this is quoting now from Psalm, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, end quote. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see yet all things subjected to him. But we do see him who has made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Because of the suffering of death, he was crowned with glory and honor, so by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. What is the great salvation, so great a salvation, that he is going to put all things in subjection under our feet at the time we are saved, in that great time of salvation? There are many things we neglect. Did you ever neglect to clean the shower after you finished? Did you ever neglect to rinse out the sink? Did you ever neglect to check the tires on your car? Did you ever neglect to brush your teeth? Did you ever neglect a bunch of things? Did you ever neglect certain things that could hurt somebody? You left something running. You didn't tell so-and-so you put that. You left the drawer open where somebody could run into it. You did something. You neglected. Okay, we neglect a lot of things, I suppose. We can forget. We need to stand responsible for them. The law of God says we have to stand responsible if someone else is hurt by our neglect. if people lose property because of our neglect, if because of our irresponsibility, somebody else's property was destroyed, we have to be responsible. But of all the things there are to neglect, of all of them, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?